Let's look at the word after that awesome worship. That was fantastic. Welcome if you're joining online. Good to see you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we have been able to get together this morning. Thank you that as your local church, we have been gathering to worship and give you praise. And thank you now we can join with our brothers and sisters online and we can gather around your word. I thank you for these truths we're about to pour over. I thank you for these seeds we're about to plant in our hearts. I thank you for all the things that you've written about your word, in your word. Thank you that it is literally breathed of you, Father. Thank you that it is the agent of permanent change in our lives. Thank you that it is through understanding this word that we can be transformed, move from one state of being to a better state of being. So we thank you for your word. Thank you for the time that we are now taking to gather around it. Speak out understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. Understanding so that these seeds are not stolen. Understanding so that these seeds can grow. Understanding so that these seeds will produce fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. Hallelujah. I think, I'm not promising it, but I think this might be the last in my Compassion mini-series. And I say mini because that's been 8 messages and that's quite short for me. What was it? Ephesians was about 28 or something. Anyway, so some of my, this has been a mini-series. It could count it as 9 because you did some about it last week. So it was kind of about compassion. So we've covered a lot of ground. We've looked at God in the Old Testament, seen that he's compassionate. Looked at Jesus in the Gospels, seen that he was compassionate. Saw that we're created in his image, God, so we can be compassionate. Saw that we can do the same things as Jesus. Like 2 weeks ago, I kind of said, let's park the greater, because we don't want to get all hung up on that. But we can do the same things as Jesus. And we looked at some of the things that he did was just, I say just, but purely natural and purely physical. You know, just being there, talking to someone, visiting. Physical things that we can do. We'll move on to the raising the dead and those kind of compassionate things later. But I did say, if you are raising the dead and curing lepers, please don't stop. That's not what I was kind of getting to 2 weeks ago. So coming to the end of this series, speaking about compassion and about being compassionate, and of course, not just speaking about it, the main aim, or the aim when I started doing this series of sermons was for me to become more compassionate. And hopefully, as I taught you guys what I was being taught, you would become more compassionate too. Now, I have been aware that I think virtually every scripture I've used so far, maybe a couple of exceptions, but the vast majority of them have been old covenant scriptures. And we know we're a new covenant church. And you know, I quite often say, you know, make sure what you're looking at in the old covenant is for you. So I'm going to finish off today by looking at new covenant scripture. So there's no kind of cop-outs. And that, well, it was old covenant back, so it's for us. No. This is for us. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. New covenant scriptures is what we as a new covenant church take literally for the way we operate and the way we do things. And like I said, most of the scripture has been old covenant. Well, you say, well, Vic, most of the scriptures are about Jesus and the Gospels. Yeah, you've got to remember that's old covenant scripture as well. But so today, for you new covenant guys, it's going to be new covenant scriptures. Because we need, and I often teach you this, we need new covenant confirmation for us. We see promises in the old covenant. We see Jesus fulfilling them in the gospel. And then we see confirmation of that in the new covenant scripture. So that's what we're going to do today. And I know it's not going to be contradictory. God doesn't change his mind. If he was compassionate then, he's compassionate now. So it's no surprise when I tell you that the New Covenant scriptures on the cover suggest we should be a compassionate people. And I could stop it. But I'm going to drag it out for you. We should be compassionate. We are equipped to be compassionate. We have been anointed to be compassionate, and we have been appointed to be compassionate. So let's have a look. I was drawn to a passage that I wasn't going to look at, but then a couple of verses jumped out at me as I was meditating on what this week. But I'm going to read the context around those verses. So let's go to 1 John 3. 1 John 3, and I think I'll read from 11 to 24. So 1 John 3:11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive ye the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Awesome. I've been meditating on that since I've given that during the week. And it is just such a scripture packed full of truths and goodness. It would normally take me 3 or 4 weeks to sort of unpick all that. But I kind of said I was going to try and wrap up this week. So you never know. I might be back on this next week, but we'll see. But it's such a passage. I'm reading that and I'm thinking, Lord, where do I start? Like, where do you normally start? At the start. Amen. So verse 11, good place to start. And it's kind of encapsulates the whole message about compassion. Kind of sums it all up, this one verse. What I've been trying to teach about compassion. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning. That we should love one another. That's what we see all the way in Scripture. Love one another. We see Jesus, God, loving the people. We see Jesus loving the people. This whole thing about compassion comes out of that one statement. Love one another. Love each other. Main message, I think, from the series. Compassion operates from love. The Good Samaritan is operating out of love, isn't he? Love for its fellow man. The priests, the Levites, we looked at them for a week. They were not operating in love. They were operating in religious and racial prejudice. That's not love. Clearly not showing love to the injured man. But the Samaritan comes along. I kind of mentioned how I don't like saying the Good Samaritan because it kind of says something about the rest of the Samaritans. But implies it. But the Samaritan cared, showed love, moved to compassion. And remember, Compassion is only compassion when you're moved to act. Compassion is not being sympathetic, being empathetic, feeling sorry. If you do nothing, that's not compassion. Compassion always acts. There's a need, we meet the need. That's compassion. So the Samaritan moved with compassion, acted, helped. We'll see later, very important, used his own resources. Yes, used his money. But I'll get to that later. Very important. Met the need, he was confronted with it. And sometimes that's what it is. Sometimes we are confronted with need. And sometimes I think that's one of the things that kind of maybe helps me make a judgment call and not meet the need. It's just, you know, you're confronted with it and it's not pretty. I'll leave that way. Good love to the injured man. Bottom line, and I think we're seeing this right throughout the series, bottom line is compassion is an expression of love. So what does that tell us if we're not being compassionate? That's quite challenging. We're not operating in love. And I'm saying a lot of we this morning. Please don't sit there and get condemned. I often say this to my fellowship. I'm not having a go at one of you. I'm having a go at you. Don't feel picked out. It's just starting to feel a little bit condemned. And I'm using the we. Okay? Compassion is an expression of love. But what I saw in this passage is it's not just any love. It's not just any love. Now, for the lovers of Greek, we'll do a bit of Greek here. For those lovers of Greek, we know there are different types of love in the world. I think I made a mistake there. Philio, that's a type of pastry. But it's also a type of love, isn't it? Or is it philios? Anyway, philio, eros. There are different types of love. There are others. But this one, where compassion comes from, I believe, and what's spoken about in this passage is agape. Greek word agape, or what we call God's kind of love. It's the way God loves Jesus. It's the way God loves us, without bias, without preconditions. I'll love you if you do this for me. No, it's not the way God loves. That's a human kind of love. Without preconditions, without bias, without the baggage that most of human love comes with. No conditions. Not, I love you if you do this, or I love you if you stop doing that, or you need to stop doing that if you love me. No, that's not God's kind of love. His kind of love is unconditional and absolute. And that's what it's talking about in this passage. But I am now going to give you the final challenge, I think, in this series. Should be challenging this. It should leave you with questions. If you're not challenged and you're not left with questions, I've not taught this right. Or you're not listening. Getting my thoughts first. If this doesn't challenge you, as a Christian, I've not got it across right. So I've been challenged. Because the verses that really hit home to me are 17 and 18. 17 and 18. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion upon him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? That's like a hammer blow to me when I read that and actually understood what the first bit meant. My little children, let us not love in words, neither in tongue, but in deeds and in truth. Now, yes, this is a bit wordy. It's a bit oldie English. It's good old King James, but I love it. Somebody said to me one day, why do you love the King James so much? Because it's so difficult to understand. I said, exactly. That's why it's great. It's so difficult to understand. So you have to get into it and study it and meditate upon it. And that's the Holy Spirit works for me, to look at the Greek, get the true meaning. You've got to work at the King James. And that's one of the reasons I love it. But yes, yeah, it's a bit wordy, it's a bit old English. But let's see what it's saying. Whoso hath, but whoso hath this world's good. What the heck does that mean? Well, the Greek word good means life, stage of existence, by implication, the means of a livelihood. So it means the resources to live. It means you have money. It means you have physical things. It means you have the wherewithal to exist, to have a livelihood. It's talking about people having enough to eat, having a home, having money, being able to buy things. Can anyone identify with that in here this morning? You know, I'm not making any judgments, but I can start with myself. But I don't think any of us are starving. You know, I think we've got enough to eat. We've got enough clothes on, thankfully. You know, you probably all came from a home, a bank account, got resources. Okay, would you all agree with me on that? Okay, then this is talking about you then. We've agreed on that. This is talking about us. Dare I say it? This is talking about, I'm going to make a bit of a judgment, we've got all of us in the West, what we call the West. But definitely it's talking about us. But whosoever hath this world's good, more than enough for our livelihoods, it's talking about us. So this is talking about us then. And then it's talking about a person like us seeing a brother in need and then shutting up their bowels of compassion. Now, I just love that. It could have just said not compassionate. But I love that. We're shutting up our bowels. I had to look at that carefully. It's not bowls. It is bowels. So we're shutting up our bowels of compassion. I.e., we're not being compassionate. And what does that tell us? Well, John's a bit subtle. He asks a question. He says, if you have the resources, if you see a need, and you're not compassionate, this is what he then asks. How dwelleth the love of God in you? He's saying, if you have the resources, and you see a need, it's like he said, if we have the resources, sorry, getting a bit pointy there. If we have the resources, if we see a need, and if we shut up our bowels of compassion and are not compassionate, is the love of God in us? That should be a challenge for every Christian that has not been compassionate in the past. I've not met every need. I would suggest that that's every single one of us. How dwell it? It's like, you know, when I was reading that, that was like God saying to me, Vic, you know, you've got the world's good. You see a need, not met it. Is my love in you? That's really harsh, really challenging. If a believer is not compassionate, with that caveat, there is a caveat of having good. But if we're not compassionate, it says, does the love of God dwell within them? That, ouch. If that doesn't challenge us as a believer, we've not heard it correctly. Or we've just not heard it properly. And I've been honest all the way through this series of sermons. At times, I've not been compassionate. That's why I started this series, because I thought I wasn't compassionate enough. I know that. And this verse therefore asks me the question, is the love of God dwelling within you? Now, let's be careful here. Let's be really careful here. And not take this out of context and study it without what we know about the rest of the word. You know, my understanding of that verse, if what it's not saying is that the love of God is not in you. It's not saying God is not in you. It's not saying you've not been saved, that you're not a Christian. But this is clearly saying that compassion is an extension of God's love in some way. Now, we know God loves us always. We know God loves us unconditionally. So it's not that when we're compassionate, the love of God is not in us. It can't be that, because we know other truths from the Word. We know that once we're saved, we have the living God within us, dwelling within us, that Holy Spirit with his love. So it can't be that we don't have the love of God in us. See where I'm trying to come from here? But this thing about how dwelleth the love of God in him, is the love of God dwelling in him? That, for me, is all about, we come back to it once again, is about knowledge and understanding. It's not that God comes and goes. God's in us and we're compassionate. God leaves us, we're not compassionate. It's not like we have the love of God dwelling in us and we're compassionate, then that love of God disappears and we're not compassionate. For me, dwelling on something is knowing and understanding and being impacted by it. That's what this means. If we know and understand his love, we will demonstrate compassion. That's what this is doing. Compassion will be expressed in relation to his love or our level of knowledge and understanding of that love. If we're not compassionate, with no love of God being expressed, the way I would see it is that there's something lacking in our knowledge or our understanding about that love in our lives. Think back to the parable of the Good Samaritan. Use the good word, but think back to that parable. A Levite priest. They're pictures of law and scripture. No compassion, no help, no love. How many times do we see around the world folk going on about religion? It's unloving. It's rigid. Samaritan is a picture of grace, all about love, truth, full of compassion, help meet the needs, help meet out of his own resources. An understanding of God's love towards us is expressed to others when we love them. And that includes compassion. Compassion is all about acting, doing things, meeting needs. Leads us to verse 18. My little children. Who's he talking to there when John says, my little children? Not in fact anyone, Christians. He's talking to believers when he says, my little children. My little children, here's another challenge. And this verse is all about acting. It's all about doing something. To me, it's all about compassion. It says, let us not love in word. That word logos means something said, something reasoned, a doctrine, a treatise. It's saying, don't love in tongue. That Greek means language. It means what you say. What that's saying is, we don't love in what we believe, think, write, or say. You love, you express love, you show love in deed. By what you do, by your deeds. Now, this is not about works. You know, we know we don't have to work to be made righteous. We are made righteous. We don't have to work in order for God to love us. We work out of God's love. But this is talking about we love through what we do, through our works, through our deeds. And also in truth, if we read the rest of that passage, we can see clearly we're talking about truth, we're talking about God and about his love. What I think verse 18 means is that we show love through what we do, and that is in and through an understanding of God's love. So the next series of sermons could possibly be about the love of God. Because if we want to be more compassionate as a people, as a church, My understanding of Scripture is that we do that through a greater understanding of God's love. That's what the Scriptures are starting to teach me. That verse there reminded me of James 2:20. Some folk are not keen on the book of James. I love it. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now, we don't do works to be saved, but we do works out of our salvation. We don't do works to get God to love us. We do works because God loves us. We don't do works to be made righteous. We do works because we know we're righteous. This is not a law works-based thing. But it says, faith without works is dead. Especially to those out there who are watching us, I think, who are looking on. What's the testimony to others if we're not compassionate? What's the testimony to folk out there if we don't meet their needs, don't help them? This is not talking about works of the law. This is talking about works of grace, of being compassionate out of knowing that we are loved and have been loved and will forever be loved. What's that saying? What's John 3:17 and 18 saying? To me, it's saying, what worth is your faith? What worth is your Christianity? And I'm thinking about me here as well. What worth is your witness and testimony if you are not compassionate? If you're not using your resources to meet other people's needs, if you're not like the Good Samaritan? What it's just saying to me is, kind of asking the question, are we really operating in faith if we're not compassionate? It's kind of saying, do we really know about the love of God if we're not being compassionate? Now, I know this is kind of sounding quite challenging, but don't let this take you down the road of condemnation. If you think, oh, here he goes again, he's always talking about it. Take that as a challenge. Don't be condemned. Because the good news is, if you're sitting there and thinking, cheers, Vic, talking about me again, there's a solution. I've given it to you lots of times already today. It's knowledge and understanding of God's love. Knowledge, understanding, and therefore levels of compassion can be increased. Not by magic, not by the awesomely anointed pastor laying on his hands and praying for you. No, there's someone else that we can have that can increase our compassion. Here we go, you're going to love this. Time and work and effort. Amen. Thank you. But that's a problem for a lot of us, unfortunately. But you know what? Not for others. I've seen people change in front of my eyes, maybe over the years, over the months. But I have seen people change, be transformed through knowledge and understanding of the Word. I thought you said it's about knowledge and understanding of God's love thing. Yes, but there's one surefire place of finding about God's love. That's in His Word. From the start to the end, if you can increase your knowledge and understanding of the Bible, if we can't, our levels of compassion are going to increase. But it takes time, it takes effort, it takes study, it takes dedication. It's not a quick process. Now, I'm aware in my life and lives of others, sometimes when we get a understanding about a certain thing, we seem to get a jump in performance. And I use that word, use that term loosely. I remember the day I understood about my righteousness, and I had a step change in love for others and care and whatever. I had a step change in transformation. Normally, our transformation is gradual over time. Sometimes we get that step change. But it's all through understanding of the word. Compassion is all about acting, isn't it? It's all about what we do. Compassion is about taking action. God's love acted. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." So there's his love. What comes out of God's love? Compassion. Action. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God acted out of his love. He was compassionate out of his love, and we are created in his image. So we are compassionate out of his love, out of an understanding of his love. If we have God's love and we know it, we will act, we will meet needs, we will help others. Because remember, compassion is all about acting. Now I want to repeat myself here a bit, because I think this is important. I'm not saying if we're not compassionate, we're not saved. Some people are going to hear that. I know some people are going to hear that. That's not what I'm saying. You know, I spoke about, you know, the love of God is not dwelling in you. No, no, no. It's not about salvation. Now, I'm sure you would agree. You know, if I stood up here and said, you know what, guys, if you swear, if you smoke, if you drink, you're not saved, you'd know I was talking a lot of nonsense. We're not saved by our actions. So in that same way, it's not that we're not saved if we're not compassionate. It's about understanding and knowledge. It's my soapbox, it's my hobby horse. I could have a hobby here or a hobby horse here or something. It's for all the time. But knowledge and understanding. I'm suggesting at the end of this series that if we are short of compassion, I'm not going to say not operating in compassion, because we all are, certain levels. If we think we're short in compassion sometimes, I would suggest it's because we don't really understand God's love. Don't really know his love, experience it at a heart level. Don't have epinosis. We may have gnosis, head knowledge. Yep, God loves me. Well, we should all know that because it's all the way through the Word. We see it all the time. But do we really understand it? Do we have experiential knowledge of that? Do we really know that deep in our heart? Is that part of our core belief system? That's what epinosis is. Real deep experiential knowledge. Let me get back to 1 John 3:17 and 18. Let me give you a translation. The Vic's version, not King James. Or rather, my interpretation of it. If you have the resources and the means to help, and you see a fellow human being in need, and you close yourself off to compassion, do you really have an understanding on God's kind of love? Your love cannot be expressed in what you think or write or say. It is expressed in what you do through what you understand about the truth. And that truth is God's love. And that should be a challenge to every single one of us. And unless you guys here are compassionate every time you meet a need, every time you're confronted by a need. Now, you may be. Bless you if you are. But I would suggest most of us are not. So I see that as a challenge to every single one of us. And it's a question only you can answer, only I can answer to God. What part of God's love do I not really understand yet? What part of God's love do I really dive into? What scriptures about the love of God do I really need to focus on? Into? You might still be sitting there, or you might still be watching all over the world and thinking, but yeah, there's a caveat to that statement. And I can see it. It's that well, I don't have the resources. What does it actually say? What's the word in King James? But whoso hath this world's good. There's your get out clause. Well, I don't think it's a get out clause for anybody here. We've already answered that question. This was a question that I asked people when I returned from India the first time. And I have to admit, I was probably a bit more arm-twisting and stronger tactics when I came back from India. But I just want to use this as an example, because some folks say, you know, I can't help. I really don't have the resources. Well, the word tells us to feed the widows and the orphans, doesn't it? And I've shown for our feeding station in India, we can do that for each person for £15 a month. That's not even £4 a week. That's not even 60 pence a day. The way I persuaded it to my daughter was that's 5 Costa coffees. There was another lad who bought a paper that worked out about 8 of his newspapers. I'm not trying to condemn anyone, I'm trying to challenge us. Are we able to meet people's needs? Are we able to take part in 1 John 3, 17 and 18? I would suggest yes. Now, this is where I could get really offensive. But remember, maybe the next series is how not to take offence. Let me just throw that caveat out to you all. You're all lovely Christians, you're not meant to take offence, okay? But I can see only 2 reasons for a Christian to not be compassionate. 1, we don't have epinosis about God's love. 2, we choose to not be compassionate. We make a judgment call and we operate out of prejudice and bias. No, I'm not saying that's any of you. Of course. Now, you may think, well, that's a bit harsh, Vic. Probably is a bit harsh. But that's what I see in the Word. If it's not a lack of knowledge, it must be a conscious choice. But here's your get-out clause for that. If it's a conscious choice, I think you don't know about God's love. So you either don't know about God's love, or you don't know about God's love. See where I'm coming from there? I would suggest if a Christian is not compassionate because they don't care and don't want to help, it's because they don't know about God's love. So it's all back to a knowledge thing. There's only one reason, I think, for any of us in not being compassionate. And I'm speaking about myself here. I've told you I make judgments, and I'm now and again not compassionate because of those judgment calls I make. I think it's because there's some part of my life that I don't fully understand God's love to me. I'm not able to express that to others. And in that sense, I'm not expressing love to people, which is what it says in 1 John 3. So I'm not being compassionate. Bottom line is the Word challenges. I'm not going to say tells us. The Word challenges us. The Word offers us the opportunity to be compassionate. It tells us later in 1 John 3 about the 2 things we have to do. Believe on Jesus and love one another. If we grasp those 2 things, I thought you just said it's about the love of God. Yeah, but that's Jesus. Jesus only came through the love of God. Jesus only came because of the love of God. Jesus only dwelt on this earth and did what he did because of the love of God. We believe on Jesus. Understand who he is, what he's done, why he did it, why his Father sent him. all through God's love and compassion. If we dwell on that, let that dwell in our hearts. God, that is God's love dwelling in us. We will love one another, and because of that, we will be compassionate. What's the main lesson in this teaching on compassion? God was compassionate. Jesus was compassionate. We are created in his image. We can do the same things as Jesus did. So we are called compassion. And we will be compassionate, and we will express his love more the more that we know that he loves. It's in the same way Nunzi mentioned something last week. This is the way it works. Someone says something, someone else takes it and builds on it. Nunzi mentioned last Sunday something that Stuart said in the Bible study, that we can forgive because we've been forgiven. We can, you know, we can love because we know we've been loved. It comes from knowledge of knowing God loves us and how much he loves us, that we can then express that and be more. It's simple. Simple, simple stuff. But unfortunately, quite often with simple stuff, it's not that easy to do sometimes, and it takes time. But I would encourage you, get into your work. Study the scriptures. Spend some time for the next, I don't know how long, working on God's love. You might think, well, it's a bit simple. We know all that. Are you 100% compassionate all the time? I would suggest there's something that we're all missing. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's take communion to finish our service.